I'd invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, which is our sermon text for this morning. I've entitled this sermon, The Parable of the Soils. But if you notice in your Bibles, you might have the heading over this passage, The Parable of the Sower. So why the difference? Parable of the Soils, Parable of the Sower. I did this intentionally because of how Jesus interprets the parable for his disciples in this passage, which we're going to see later on, and the emphasis that he puts on hearing the word. I, like many of you, have tried my hand at gardening and growing things. As any good gardener knows, just as important as the seed and the water and the sun is the soil and the state of the soil that you're planting in. One summer, a few years back, I planted several garden boxes full of vegetables. I had even grown them in my house as seedlings. And I prepared the soil, got it all ready, and when I planted the seedlings, they started to come up so beautifully, and they looked so, so promising. But then we left town for 2 weeks, and when I came back, the garden was an absolute jungle. It wasn't a jungle of vegetables, it was a jungle of weeds, so that the rest of the summer, the rest of the growing season, when I went to go harvest my vegetables, I was chopping down acres of weeds, it seemed, just to get that one measly tomato that was being choked out by the rest of the growth. I learned that good soil is fertile ground for more than just what you want to grow there, but also for what you might not want, the weeds. Well, if anyone wants to learn the secret of planting and growing in good soil, you need to go talk to Jane Dillon. She has the greenest thumb of any person that I have met. Last fall, she brought my family and I a sweet potato, and I'm not kidding you, it was bigger than my head. It's probably this big. My wife, in fact, used it, the one sweet potato, to make an entire sweet potato casserole. It was so big. But our passage this morning is not about the secret to growing good vegetables. It's about the secret of the kingdom of God, as verse 11 of Mark 4 states. And Jesus is teaching in this passage, it's about two fundamental things. It's about the seed, which Jesus says in his parable represents the word of God. And it's also about the soils, which Jesus indicates in the interpretation are the hearts of man. It's about the word of God. It's about the hearts of man. And specifically, this passage is about why the interplay between God's word and men's hearts so often yields such divergent results. It's the same seed. It's the same word, but such different results. If you are there, I'm going to start reading in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. My outline this morning is going to be a little bit different than usual. So typically I'm preaching through a book and I identify the next unit of thought in the book, and that's the passage for the morning. And then I actually walk through that passage in sequential order. That's typically what I do on a Sunday morning. But this morning, we've come to our first parable in the book of Mark. What is a parable? A parable is a kind of metaphorical teaching that Jesus frequently used, where he explained some kind of a kingdom principle in terms of everyday pictures in imagery that even children can understand. And often Jesus would teach in parables and then explain their meaning, but only to those who asked, who mostly were his disciples and those who were his close followers. As we're going to see later on, the parables often served to divide those who liked to just listen to Jesus from those who really wanted to understand what Jesus was teaching in order to give their lives to it. So the parable in our passage this morning is followed by Jesus' interpretation of the parable to his disciples. We've got both. We've got the parable and Jesus' interpretation. So instead of going verse by verse through the parable first and then the interpretation, we're going to put those things side by side, and we're going to see how each aspect of the parable is interpreted by Jesus. The first is a general overview. Look with me at how many times hearing or listening appears in this passage. Verse 3, Jesus says, listen. Verse 9, he concludes the parable. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 12, talking about the first soil, those are those who may indeed hear but not understand. Verse 15, when they hear. Verse 16, when they hear the word. Verse 18, they are those who hear the word. Finally, verse 20, those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. Repetition of words and themes is often a good clue as to what a passage is about. So I think this passage is about hearing the word. And not just any kind of hearing of the word, but the right type of hearing. This passage is about four types of soils, which represents four types of hearing, which stems from four kinds of hearts. As we're going to see, all these different hearts hear. But it's only one that produces fruit from the seed of the Word of God, and that is the good soil. So that's our outline this morning. It's the four types of human hearts that hear the Word. The first, in verse 4 and verse 15, we have the hard heart. Secondly, in verses 5 through 6, and then Jesus' interpretation, and 16 through 17, we have the shallow heart. Thirdly, in verse 7, and then in verses 18 and 19, we have the crowded heart. And finally, the good soil, in verses 8 and 20, we have the attuned heart. So if you're taking notes this morning, that's my outline. The hard heart, the shallow heart, the crowded heart, and the attuned heart. My prayer for us this morning is that we would all come away with hearts attuned to God's word and thus having fruitful, good, prepared soil. But first, the hard heart. Everyone look with me at verse 1 of Mark 4. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them. And he goes on and tells the parable. Jesus is here somewhere by the Sea of Galilee, and again, a large crowd has gathered round him to hear his teaching. The crowd is so large that he has to shove off in a boat only to be able to teach them from the water, where the water amplifies his voice. In verse 2, it says that he was teaching them many things in parables, those metaphorical stories. And what follows in verse 3 is one of Jesus' parables that he taught the crowd. He begins, again, by that command, listen. He wants them to tune their hearts to his word, listen. Then he goes on to tell the story about a sower, a farmer, who went out to sow his seed. When Jesus subsequently interprets the parable for his disciples, we're told what this seed represents in verse 14. Jesus says, the sower sows not the seed, but what? The word. The word being God's word, the word of God, the gospel, the good news of Christ. Now, we're not told exactly who the sower represents, but we can make some educated guesses, can't we? I think initially the sower represents Jesus and the various responses that his teaching receives from the crowd. Why doesn't everyone respond like the disciples do? Lay down everything and follow him. Why are some responding like the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the scribes? They're rejecting the word of Jesus. Well, it's because of the state of their soil, the state of their hearts, whether or not they're ready to receive God's word. But I believe the sower can also represent anyone who would share the word of God with others. In this way, the sower represents me every Sunday morning. As I preach the word of God and call sinners to repentance and faith, not on my authority, but on the authority of the word of God. Preaching, sowing the word. But the sower also represents you. When you share the word of God, when you share the gospel with your friends and your neighbors and your family, the good news, the precious news that Jesus has come to save sinners, can help explain why not everyone responds to that good news in the same way. Regardless, one thing to note is that the sower, in Jesus' parable, he's spreading the seed in a free and generous manner. He's not stingy with the seed. He's not hoarding the word, but he's spreading it to all soils. Then we come to the question, why the different responses to God's word? It's because, Jesus tells us, it's the hearts of the hearers that are different. Look with me at verse 4. And as he sowed, some seed fell upon along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Okay, think with me about soil and dirt along a path where people walk. What are some of its characteristics? Well, it's the place where everybody's going. There's a lot of feet on that dirt. It's hardened, it's packed down by the world's attention. It's where everybody is. They're on the path. Because of this, there's not a lot of growth in this soil. The soil's too hard. And so when this seed comes and the word of God comes, the soil is so hard, there's no place for it to go. No place for it to take root. So it just lays there, vulnerable to the birds. In his interpretation of the parable, Jesus tells us what happens to the hard-hearted soil in verse 15. And these are those along the path, Jesus says, where the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. We see here that Jesus intended in his parable for the birds to represent Satan and his opposition, his hatred of the word of God. See, the word in the hard heart is given no opportunity for root, and it's snatched away immediately by the devil. Satan hates God. Satan hates his word. He doesn't want to give any chances for it to grow. What are some indications of a hard heart like this hard soil? Like one implication is that this kind of heart desires to be where the world is. Hangs out where all the people are. Wants to walk in the world's path. Therefore, it's hardened by worldly ways. All the worldly traffic hardens the soil, and when the word of God comes, it comes in one ear and right out the other. No place for it to rest. The alarming part about these first three soils is all of them hear the word. You see that? They heard. It's not an issue of access to God's word. It's not an issue of access to Jesus. It's an issue of the state of the heart. When the hard heart hears God's word, there is nowhere for it to go. There's no chance for the word of God to take root. The devil's prowling, ready to snatch up the seed. What's got to happen for this soil to be made ready? It's got to get away from the path. It's got to be removed from the broad way in order to be able to be prepared to receive the word. That heart needs to hear James 4:7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The first soil represents the hard heart, but in verses 5 through 6, Jesus introduces another kind of soil that represents another kind of heart, this, the shallow heart. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. This kind of soil is characterized by two things in verse 5. It's rocky, and because of that, it's got no depth. It's very shallow. The rocks and the shallow soil prevent the development of any kind of a root system, which is how a plant is nourished, how it gets the water and the nutrients to be able to grow. An interesting detail about this particular plant is this seedling actually springs up very quickly. It looks very promising. Faster even than the other seed that's perhaps sown in the good soil. The seedling looks really good on the surface, but it's because it's not spending any energy in developing the deep root system that is longevity. Instead, all of its energies is going to outward appearances. What happens when the sun comes up? This little seedling, it withers away. It's got no root. It's got no depth. Jesus helps us interpret this kind of soil in verses 16 through 17. He tells us what kind of heart this soil represents. He says in verse 16, these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Again, they hear the word. Not only do they hear it, they receive it joyfully. But this seedling is not long-lived. Why? Jesus tells us in verse 17, because they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. You see, having no deep grounding, no access to life-giving nourishment and living water, the plant in this soil just withers away. What's causing the withering? Verse 17, it's tribulation. It's persecution on account of the Word, on account of God's Word. Note well, it's hardship that causes it to wither. This hardship is the trials of life, the tribulation that the Bible tells is coming for followers of Jesus. He said it right at the beginning of his ministry. Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." The call to take up your cross is not a call to go on vacation. It's a call to die with Christ. In Acts 14:22, we're told what the early church heard, that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The Bible does not promise that followers of Jesus have an easy route, an easy path. In fact, those who are told that message are like this seedling who spring up quickly, and then when something hard comes, they die. They wither away. No, Jesus tells us, count the cost. But brothers and sisters, it is worth it. It's worth it. Persecutions will come, Jesus told us in John 15:18-20. Jesus said this, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me," Jesus says, "they will persecute you." See, the seedling that springs up didn't hear this from Jesus. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Tribulation is coming. Persecution is coming. You got to have a deep root. It's noteworthy, I think, that this type of soil is described as lacking depth, or it's shallow. Brothers and sisters, beware shallow Christianity. It will not survive when hardships come. Where does the persecution come from? From the world and from the devil. The devil's at work overtly in the bird, snatching away the seed in the first soil, but he's at work here in the tribulation and the persecution in this soil too. He hates God's word. He wants to see seedlings wither. But that's not his only tactic. Look with me at verse 7. Jesus talks about not only the hard heart, but also the crowded heart. Verse 7. I think this third soil hits a little closer to home, at least for me. Jesus says, "Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain." So the problem here with this heart isn't the type of soil. It's actually fertile, isn't it? Things are growing in it. But the problem is what else is taking root in the soil. And Jesus tells us what these thorns represent in verses 18 through 19. He says, "And the others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and they choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." The thorns that prevent growth and fruitfulness are described in three ways in verse 19. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things that are stronger than the desire for the word. Call this the crowded heart. and the roots and the leaves and the branches of other weeds. Keep the Word of God from producing the necessary life-giving fruit. You see, this heart hears the Word, but it's also giving ample attention to what the world cares about. You see, this heart hears the Word, but it's pursuing fast after worldly treasures and riches. This heart hears the Word, but it has a desire for other things. See, this heart may say it wants the Word, but its desires tell the truth. What it wants, what this heart gives attention to, what this heart spends its intimate time pursuing, spells a different reality. I believe these last two soils, the shallow heart and the crowded heart, are all too common. It grieved me to see these kinds of soils play out every summer when I went to church camp growing up. Many would come, they'd get enthused about Jesus and the Bible for that week. They'd receive the Word in joy. Then they'd go back to school. They'd go back home. They'd go back to where they were from, and hardship would set in. Maybe someone would make fun of them for being a Jesus freak. Maybe something difficult happened in their lives, and instead of turning to God and His Word, they turned to a substance or to a different friend group or to a different outlook on life, and they withered away from the faith. But more often than not, it was the day-to-day cares of the world that got to them. The deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things. I have many friends who I went to church camp with that are no longer today walking with the Lord. Illustrations of what exactly Jesus is teaching about in these soils. I'm concerned for people who hear God's Word on Sunday, but are dominated by the cares of the world Monday through Saturday. If 6 out of 7 days of the week are dominated by worldly growth, the growth of the thorns and the weeds, and you only give 1 day of a week to godly growth, what are you going to end up with? You're going to have a patch full of weeds and thorns. Not a fruitful harvest. Again, who do you think is planting the weeds? The Bible tells us elsewhere, it's not God sowing the weeds. It's Satan. Satan is at work in this soil too. He wants to choke out your growth. Resist the devil and he will flee. Give him no quarter. Desire the Word of God above all things, and you will produce fruit. And so we see in the final soil, the good soil, the soil of the attuned heart in verse 8. Verse 8, Jesus tells us about the good and fruitful soil. He says, "And the other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." What makes the good soil good? Well, for starters, it's the opposite of the bad soil. It's not hardened by the worldly paths. It's not full of the rocks and therefore shallow, maybe a mile wide and an inch deep. And it's not full of thorns and weeds choking out its growth. No, instead it's deep and it's soft and it's rich. Ready to receive the Word. And this soil produces fruit. It multiplies itself. Jesus tells us what kind of heart the good soil is in verse 20. He says, "But those that were sown on the good soil are those who hear the Word and accept it." That was missing, wasn't it, in the first three soils? Hear the Word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. This kind of soil, this kind of heart is the one that hears the Word, accepts it, and bears fruit. It's three attributes of the good soil. Three attributes of the good heart. First, it hears the word. Now, it's hard to see in the English translations that you have before you, but it's really easy to see in the original. In the first three soils, that word translated here, it's in the past tense and it's only one time. It happens once. You hear the word. The difference between this fourth soil and the previous three and the way that they hear, this here is better translated hearing. It's an ongoing reality, an ongoing attuning of the heart to God's word. It doesn't happen one time, but it's an attuned devotion to God's word. The hearing in this sense is ongoing. It's in the present. Not only is it hearing the word constantly, but it's accepting the word. It's receiving the word constantly. This word also is in that same tense, the present tense. It's ongoing. It's happening daily, hourly. Receiving, hearing, accepting. Doesn't go in one ear and out the other, but it's heard and then heeded. Because of that, it bears fruit. I think this soil, this heart, bears fruit in two senses. There's two kinds of fruit in the Bible. There's spiritual fruit, which we see in Galatians 5. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience. Kindness, goodness, gentleness. Self-control. That's the kind of fruit that this soil produces. Doesn't that sound like an oasis in this world? The fruit of the Spirit. Again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I think there's another instance of bearing fruit, though, that's intended here. I think it means that it's multiplying itself. It's making more of itself. It's making disciples. One interesting thing to note here is that the different plants in the good soil, they are all producing different levels of fruitfulness, aren't they? Some are producing 30-fold, others 100-fold. It's not given to us as Christians to look at one brother or one sister and look at their fruitfulness and despise our own fruitfulness. We should be encouraged. We recognize that God works through the fruitfulness of all Christians, producing that fruit. And some, we're told in this parable, will be more fruitful than others. Fruitful more in winning more disciples, maybe even more fruitful in victory, producing the Galatians 5 fruit of the Spirit. The point, though, is these plants are fruitful. These hearts are producing fruit. You can see that this is a healthy plant because of the fruit that it produces. Well, in conclusion, I said we would return to those words that we skipped over of Jesus's in verses 10 through 12. You notice I went to the parable, then I went to the interpretation, and I skipped verses 10 through 12. Let's look at verse 10 together now. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." So again, the crowd heard Jesus' teaching, but according to verse 10, only those who stuck with Jesus, who were around Jesus, who were following him, his disciples, they were given the true meaning of this parable, what verse 11 describes as the secret of the kingdom of God. In other words, those who are with Jesus, who ask him for more and deeper revelation, will receive it. Ask and you will receive. It's part of the reason we're told why Jesus does teach in parables. In verse 12, that's what it says, so that it would divide the insiders and the outsiders very, very clearly. You see, Jesus was surrounded by those who saw, but they didn't really see. Who heard, but they didn't really understand. And in a very practical way, in Jesus' ministry, the soils parable was outworking right before his very ministry. The difference between receiving God's word like the fourth soil and the first three is a difference of the heart. This is how God's word works as well. It's heard by many. Many, many people have heard the word of God throughout the centuries, but it's only heeded by some. But you see at the end of verse 12 what happens when someone does see and does perceive. If someone does hear and understand, look what Jesus says. Lest they should turn and be forgiven. See, someone who hears and understands turns and is forgiven. This kind of heart repents of their sins and believes in Christ who forgives their sins. That's the message of the gospel. It's the message that we preach here at First Baptist Church every single week. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. But I have turned from my sin, and I have put my trust in Christ. And verse 12 says, I have been forgiven. The question remains, what will your heart do with this word, with this seed? My prayer for all of you this morning is that you would not have a hard heart. You would not have a shallow heart, that you would not have a crowded heart, but your heart would be attuned to God's word, not only now, not only today, but for the days to come. Only then will you be able to withstand the tribulations and the persecutions and the distractions and the worldly desires that we know are coming, because the Bible tells me so. But if this is so, if your heart is to be so attuned, if your heart is to grow according to God's word, we know that it's only going to be owing to God's good grace. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. May God give the growth today.